Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Renee, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, Lisa. I'm so glad to meet you.
I am so excited to be talking with you as well. How did you find me?
It's a little bit of a chicken and egg question because I think I found you and Angela Watson's Truth for Teachers podcast close to the same time, but I think I found you from listening to her podcast. Okay. And the reason why I was looking for things, just a little bit of backstory, is so I'm a speech language pathologist and I absolutely love my job, but it is stressful. And I remember that we had a professional development day in March of 2019 that was all about like time management. And I remember looking through these exercises and starting to cry like, oh my God, I put my work first. Mm-hmm. I put my work first and I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible wife. Oh. And so I started to walk more because I felt like I needed to do that for myself. Mm-hmm. And that's where I started looking more into podcasts. So
fun.
Yes. And I know people always talk about your voice and being a speech language pathologist, I have some theories for why people love your voice if you want to hear them.
Oh yeah. I want to hear them.
Okay. So the first one is that you have that perfect Central American dialect. Like, so you could totally be a credit card menu, like for your balance and payment information. Like you have that pronunciation down, you know, Midwest Center. And then you also have a very forward focus to your voice. So, which I think may be why you don't get hoarse that much, it seems, given how much you talk.
So, I very rarely do.
Yeah. So you kind of project your voice so that it's resonating in the front roof of your mouth instead of back here. And you very rarely have any glottal fry kind of stuff that drives me crazy in podcasts. So
interesting.
Yeah. So it's healthy for your voice and it's comfortable for our ears too.
Yeah, even recording the audiobook, by the end of the second day, I was like, oh, but if I did an Epsom salt bath, and I love Luden's cough drops, I know they're mostly sugar, but those are what I like. And if I suck on like five of those, then I'm fine the next day.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're a storyteller, right? And that's how, you know, human brains are programmed for remembering stories since we were cave people. So anytime you're going off on what you call your rabbit trails, you're actually giving us personal anecdotes that are relevant to the content, but that help us relate to the information. So I think that's why people stick with you so much.
I find even as I'm getting into really meaty topics on my own researching end, like I've been reading some really heavy business books, but I found some that are written as parables and like, I cannot wait to listen to the next chapter. And I'm like, I'll listen to a whole book in one day because I'm like, well, what happens next? What happens next? Because there are characters in there and it's not written by, and then for lean manufacturing, you're going to want to, I mean, it's just not dry and you get so caught up in the stories of the people. And I remember so much more out of those books than I do out of the factual ones or sermons or anything. Like anytime you could tell a story instead of just giving the dry facts, boy, I really remember it so much better.
Yeah. Well, and being a teacher too, like, you know, that the teachers that you remembered and listened to and liked the most were the ones that kind of took it as a storytelling and they try to help you connect the information to your own life and not just be endlessly relaying facts to you. So,
yeah. And I think too, like I tell stories, but also in a lot of my podcasts, it's almost like I have your brain do kinesthetic work. Like if we were in a classroom, I'd be like, okay, so in the science experiment, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. But in the podcast, I can almost make it be where you are physically doing step one, step two, step three, only you're doing it all in your brain instead of like in real life.
And not just the what and the how, but the why. Like you really explain the why. And, you know, like just as an example, like when with the kitchen, I remember the first round, I was like, I am not doing what she says to do with the cereal. I'm like, that's like, that's nuts. I'm not doing it. What is she talking about? And you talked about how like, well, you know, really how many kinds of cereal do you need? And you can pretty much tell what's in the bag. You don't need to get fancy labels. You don't need to get containers or whatever. And this third round, I've got the bin with the clips and the cereal and the kids want their cereal. I pull out the box. I'm like, here you go. And I don't have these giant boxes of cereal in my cabinet anymore. And I'm like, yep, she was right. That was, you know, the why of like, this is
totally
why.
Unconventional. Totally unconventional. So it's in my How ADHD Affects Home Organization book as well. But as a professional organizer, when you are organizing female heads of households, kitchens that have children, they have cereal. And if you have one box of cereal, you have 20. There's no such thing as one box of cereal. There's one, none or 20, period. And when you, if you don't know this already, when you pull the bag of cereal out of the box, it's in a clear bag. So you could see what kind of cereal is inside of the box. Immediately you get rid of like 25% of the space of the bag by taking it out of the box. The only way that this system does not work is if you buy regular and Honey Nut Cheerios. Mm-hmm. Like, and in that case, you take a Sharpie marker and you write Honey Nut on one and regular on the other. But for every other kind of cereal, you know exactly what it is in the bag and you use it like they're chip bags. You just roll them down and you put a little clip on it, and then you bring out the whole basket of cereal and you put it on the counter. Kids grab what they want. You roll them back up. You put them back in. Takes up so much less space, so much less arguing. You're not standing at the pantry going, do you want Honey Nut Cheerios, Corn Chex, Sprite? You just bring the whole basket out. Saves so much time.
And round one, I really thought you were nuts.
I am nuts.
But, you know, but that goes back to like that you're not a Pinterest organizer. You're not you need to get these beautiful bins and you need to get chalkboard labels and you need to write down what kind of cereal you have and change it whenever you buy a new kind of cereal.
Or those Tupperware, like I always wanted my pantry to look like Tupperware and have like all the Tupperware containers or the, you know, any kind of containers where you put everything in there. I put Triscuits in those and they go stale in 2 days. I don't understand. It just does not work.
Yep, I'm with you.
Yeah. So, wow, we've already gotten on. Long podcast. So Renee, tell us about the people who live with you in your house. Who's in your house with you?
Sure. So I have my husband and he and I are actually high school sweethearts. We've been together since we were 15 years old. And even before that, I used to give him gum in seventh grade math class. And so we got married in 2006 and now we have two little girls. And we have a dog also, a crazy yellow lab. And my 5-year-old said that we had to get a boy dog so that daddy could have a boy in the house. And she said, daddy and Tiki, they're wiener besties.
So, you gotta love kids' perspective, right?
I know. So that's the male energy in my house. But yeah, and you know, I work as I do in special education, you know, I know how fortunate I am that my kiddos do well in school easily. I really am so fortunate to have the family that I have, and I really don't have a lot of trauma or drama in my life either. And yet I was feeling so miserable and overwhelmed just by everyday life and had like no resilience for just how to fill all the roles and responsibilities of my day. So you've helped me a lot.
What an interesting perspective to reckon. I mean, like I will often say, like, I don't feel like I've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations in my life. Of course, yes, we struggle with infertility. Yes, we've had debt. Yes, you know, but I've never lost my home. I've never lost my spouse or my child. Like I feel in the grand scheme of things, my life was never out of control to any grave extent. Yet we still can feel disorganized and feel that there is more and we could do this easier. So I like that you mentioned that. We don't have to be starting from a place of, I don't know if I'm going to survive the next day, right?
The warrior binder, although I haven't had anyone come in with one yet. I would know where it came from if I saw one. I have a sister who's older than me. She's 12 years older than me, and she has a nephew in his 20s who has autism. And that's what got me interested in being a speech language pathologist. And so, you know, whereas other people might say like, oh, that mom, she's always late to meetings. I know what a struggle it is to get out the door when you're living that every day. You know, oh, I don't understand why this kid is having these behaviors. Well, I know that he might not be sleeping well. And if kids aren't sleeping, they're not learning, you know? So I always try to have that global perspective with that. And so I recognize how fortunate I am to live the life that I have. And I feel like I have nothing to complain about. And yet I always had this very negative mindset and always would judge myself based on all the things that I hadn't gotten done and the things that I should be doing better. And that was a real struggle for me.
You know, we are so hard on ourselves. As women, we are so hard on ourselves. The expectations that we have are so unrealistic. And yet we give other people grace and we allow them to have more realistic expectations. But when it comes to us, we just do not have realistic expectations.
No, absolutely. And when you talk about how as a teacher, you know, that like your teacher evaluations, they would say that you had unrealistic expectations for yourself and others. That's me to a T. Like, you know, I wanted to have the Pinterest perfect classroom and the beautiful laminated materials for every kid. And, you know, I wanted to be the kind of mom that gardens. I can't keep any plants alive at all. My older sister is an amazing artist. She's an amazing gardener. She's an amazing cook. She gets decorating. I am the opposite of all of those things. Like my house is all beige and gray. It's tidy, but it's got no character, you know? So I would always be feeling, I would always be noticing the things that I was not excelling in instead of appreciating the things that I do.
So you decided to start getting organized. Why did you decide to start getting organized?
So I have always been organized. Looking back, I think I was probably a very obnoxious child. I remember, so my mother had a home daycare. And so we always had kids in the house. We always had, you know, a lot of stuff everywhere. And my grandmother was born in 1918, and she had this tiny little 800 square foot house. And it was so perfectly neat and tidy. You know, she did not have clutter of any sort. And her washcloths were like perfectly folded and standing up in the Marie Kondo way before there was Marie Kondo. And I remember I made this list for my mother, like, Mom, these are all the things we could do to make our house better, like to make our house more organized. And she looked at me and she said, Renee, do you realize that your grandmother lives alone, and doesn't have anyone else to clean up for, you know? And I'm trying to put that expectation on my own mother. Like, well, why can't we have our house like that? Of course, I wasn't saying that I was going to step up and do all of the chores. But so I've always just had that kind of a brain. In college, I worked at Victoria's Secret, still know how to give a bra fitting. And I remember I used to love stocking the shelves and organizing the shelves and organizing the stock room to the point where I'd get annoyed when a customer came in and needed my help because I was trying to continue to arrange things the way I wanted them arranged. And then in college, I loved taking data on my students, and I had this pack of rainbow highlighters, and I made like a rainbow color coded data sheet for my kids in the clinic. And, so I've always been very organized. So it might not make sense. Like, why are you a part of this program? You know, we bought a new house in 2016, which is bigger and has more storage. So again, you would think, well, why do you need this? But for me, it's really that the mental part of it and the coaching part of it that has helped me a lot with the realistic expectations. You know, my husband and I are very different in that he's much more sentimental. I think in my house, I think other than like photo albums, the only material possession that I'm truly sentimental about would be a painting from my grandmother's house. All the rest of it could go and I would be fine. Like, whereas with him, he really likes to think about, you know, well, who do we know who could use this item? And it's much harder for him to make decisions and part with things. But sometimes he's right. So I have a funny story about mixing bowls. Because I am not the cook, our first Thanksgiving in our new house, when we had moved from our old house, we used to have two sets of mixing bowls. We had a stainless steel set and we had a Pyrex set. Yeah. And I was like, I preferred the stainless steel because it's lighter. And I, you know, so why do we need two sets? So without talking to him, I got rid of the Pyrex one. And then he goes to make Thanksgiving dinner. And he's like, Renee, where are the glass mixing bowls? And I said, well, I got rid of them. And he's like, what do you mean? Because when he makes Thanksgiving dinner, he likes to microwave things to keep it warm, which you cannot do with the metal ones. So he said, guess what you're getting for Christmas?
You're getting Pyrex bowls? That's hilarious. He gets an A+ for that. Mm-hmm. That was well played. Well played is all I have to say on that one.
Yeah.
Well, also what I love about Pyrex bowls, because they're glass, you can use them as extra serving bowls when you have like a really big meal and you don't have that many serving dishes. You can use them just as like glass matches every single kind of china that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have the kind with the lids too. So that's storage also.
Oh, quite the nice Christmas present you got yourself.
but I am. If it were up to me, our house would be much emptier than it is. And sometimes, as you say, like sometimes you can go overboard with decluttering. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely my scenario.
Were you overwhelmed with how much stuff you had? If you moved into a bigger house.
I know.
And you're not really worried about the stuff. Was it really the stuff that pushed you into this, or why? And you were organized before. So what time of year was it? What did you do first? What was really disorganized? Was it the stuff?
I think, backtracking a little bit, I had told you how I was kind of having a hard time in March of 2019 and realizing how much I had put my work first. And you talk about how you were putting your teaching job first. Yep. And, you know, that's definitely the case with me. So things were getting neglected at home. And I remember that in April of 2019, we did a Disney trip over spring break. And then we got home on Sunday. And then I had to go to work that Monday. And I had 8 PPTs because the spring is like the big PPT season. And there's so much work that goes into preparing for.
And what is a PPT?
A parent and placement team meeting. So that would be like an IEP meeting, that's what we call it. So all of the kids' goals and all of the kids' data. Mm-hmm. And being that I go overboard, my kids tend to have a lot of goals on their IEPs. I was physically not feeling well just from the stress of it all and realizing that I needed to get things back in order. And as you know, like teachers, it's the summertime that we're able to actually get anything done. And so in the summer of 2019, I remember just listening to all your podcasts and, you know, maxing out on all of your free content and kind of going room by room in your oldest podcasts and using those as my guide. I remember painting my daughter's room pink and listening to all of your suggestions. And I did the free laundry room, even though I thought I really want to do my basement. Why am I doing my laundry room? You're absolutely right that the basement is like our playroom. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense to spend all your time cleaning that because they're just going to trash it all summer long anyway. And I know everyone tells you this, but the Sunday basket for me, I purchased that the end of the summer of 2019, and it really has been a huge life-changing thing for me. You know, you talk about in some of your newer ads, like that it's not about doing all the things, it's about doing the right things. Yeah. And that is definitely, you know, my brain was just a constant hamster wheel, constant ticker tape of all of the things that I needed to do. And it was impossible for me to be present because I was always thinking about all of the things that I needed to get done. And, you know, I have, is it copyright infringement if I read a quote from your book?
No.
Okay.
Not according to me.
Okay. So in your book, you talk about default thinking mode as being a largely unconscious type of brain activity in which we ruminate repeatedly about the past, the future, our worries. And scientists have found that this default mode is more active when people are depressed. Mm. And, you know, I have not been diagnosed with anything like that, but I think I was definitely having some symptoms of that, just being so overwhelmed. And again, I don't have anything to complain about. It's just normal life things that were, that were overwhelming for me. So having the Sunday basket and having those planner sheets initially, you know, really helped me to think about what is truly necessary for me to do this week. And and the whole idea of deferring things was completely foreign to me. Because because
who's going to do them if you defer them? It's still you, so you might as well do them now, right? Like, that's what we think. I mean, if you don't do them, who's going to do them? So why defer them? You might as well just do it now.
Right. And you talk about, even as a teacher too, like, you know, you want to get an A, you want to do things right away. And then especially now with 2020, it's like, oh, wait, no, don't bother. They're just going to change the rules in 5 minutes.
True.
So having to be realistic and having a place to store those ideas and those thoughts where I don't need to ruminate on them all the time has been really, really great. So I realized I wasn't really training my family to use it. I have since taught my kids to start putting notes in. Mm. I have a couple of cute ones, if you don't mind. Can I share them with you?
Sure. That your kids have written?
Yes. So
it ended up in your Sunday basket?
Yes.
Okay. I want to hear these.
All right. So the first one is my five-year-old drew a picture of green salsa. So it's a green, it's like a green rectangle. And she drew a bunch of little different colored circles because she wants caramel M&Ms. Then my 10-year-old typed a note and put it in with the word mother on an envelope. And it's all about how she wants me to let her have makeup.
So she's liking, like requisitioning. Here's my formal case.
Yes. So when instead of nagging me about these things, like, mom, can I have makeup? Mom, I really want, into like trying to bug me. I said, put a note in my Sunday basket and I'll think about it. And I mean, she's hilarious. You know, I'll buy it with my own money. In addition, you won't have to spend anything, not a zilch. It'll be good for my hand-eye coordination. So that has been really great for me too, because as you again say in your book, you know, that they need to learn that I am not going to stop what I'm doing for every single request that is made of me. And I think that's part of my frustration is that, again, like that whole being interrupted at Victoria's Secret when I'm trying to stock a shelf, it's like at home, same thing. You know, if I'm trying to accomplish something, I would get frustrated when people would be making requests.
So how much progress did you make in the summer of 2019 just using the free podcasts and doing the free week and all the free things that we have, which we have a whole bunch of free stuff?
Yes, I did the laundry room for sure. I did my closet. I got rid of a jewelry box that I hate and switched to a hanging jewelry organizer, which I love. My kitchen, like because we had just recently moved in and I naturally think in zones, the setup wasn't bad, but I did create like a grab and go snack cabinet. So, you know, I'm gradually going through the program. I didn't buy the 100 days until January of 2019, which again, it would seem like, well, why would you need to do that? Because your house is bigger and you don't have a ton of stuff. And for me, it was the planner.
So that worked.
Yes. You know, because when you divide your time into 100-day chunks, it makes me feel more confident in deleting and deferring things because I know that it's going to come back around again. About CEOs managing resources, people, and outcomes and not doing all the work themselves, you know, that was huge. I remember the first planner, I showed my husband that roles and responsibilities sheet. And even he was like, whoa, you know, because it's not that he doesn't help around the house. It's just that he doesn't see it the way that I see it. You know, if I ask him to help me with anything, he absolutely will, but it's not going to bother him the way it bothers me where it's like, I have to fix it. You know, like when he vacuums, he goes with the edger and he gets all the cobwebs and he goes all around the room. Whereas when I do it, I'm like just one room to the next, like done is better than perfect. You know, just got to get it done.
So what's happened since you started on this journey of getting organized that you didn't expect to happen?
Well, so in March of 2020, I bought the kids program, again, for my 10-year-old and 5-year-old, and my 10-year-old absolutely loved it. She made her own little schedule, and she put like lunch with Lisa on it at noon. She made not just the graph paper models of her room, but 3D models of her room with paper and like folded little strips of paper as like stairs. Like, you know, she made like her ideal dream room.
Fun.
Yeah. And then, like you always say, I haven't even shown the videos to my 5-year-old, but just from watching her sister, she now is keeping her room clean as well. So like she makes her bed every morning. Her books are all on the shelf. Her toys are on the shelf. To the point where like she'll get annoyed if her sister sits on her bed because she's like, I just made my bed. So that was really surprising. And then I also took the cleaning schedule that was in the planner and I adapted it for my kids so that instead of my house looking really good for like an hour on Sundays after I've cleaned it all day, it looks sort of okay every day because my kids are, you know, Monday they know they have to do the bathroom. And so Lily will do the low stuff and her older sister will do the high stuff. And you know, it's not necessarily the way that I would do it, but it's teaching them responsibility and it's making it so that I don't have to spend my entire weekend cleaning anymore.
And if they feel that responsibility in their own rooms because they're keeping them clean and then you give them responsibility in the house, then they're not going to want the house to look bad either because it's part of their responsibility now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they like having a clean room, you know, that mm-hmm. sometimes they'll argue over whose room they're going to play in because they don't want to mess up their room. And they'll, and the basement playroom too. Now they'll, my oldest is really into organizing. So like right now it's a gymnastics studio for the dolls and they like made little closets for their gymnastics outfits and set up little like pretend snacks and stuff. So, you know, and a waiting room for the parents. Like they love arranging things to go along with their play.
How fun is that? And as an educator, I mean, I think that, you know, we don't know if our kids like reading or math or history or science until they have a teacher that teaches them reading or math or history or science. Like, no 5-year-old would say, oh, I love science. But by the time you get to a 4th grader and you ask them, what do you love? They'll tell you which subjects they like better and the teachers they've had that have brought that to life for them. I think the same is true with organization. Like, we don't teach organization as something that kids learn, but when they do the kids program, I mean, I hear it over and over and over again. My kids really liked learning organization. And I think more than just learning the organization, feeling the ownership of their bedroom as their space and their responsibility and having the tools to be able to do it themselves.
Yes, definitely. And especially because my oldest is 10, she's getting to that age where she wants to hang out alone in her room more. So she wants it to be a pleasant place to be.
Apparently with makeup.
I said no to the makeup. She's 10. I said lip gloss. Okay, that's it.
I think she'll be adding more letters into your Sunday basket as the years go on. That's kind of cute.
It is very cute.
So what unexpected things have happened as you've been organizing? Obviously, we have the pandemic. How has that impacted you? And has there been anything else that's come up?
Obviously, being a special educator in 2020 was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not possible to reach all of my families. And I think probably about half the time I was able to get responses to some of the things that I was posting. But it also gave me perspective that, you know, I think of my job as being so life and death. And seeing the kids coming back to school now and seeing all the progress they've made at home with their families shows me that, you know, yeah, I'm important, but I'm not the be all end all. And, you know, how important that family connection is for my students. And this is going to sound very kind of odd, but so I'm in Connecticut and our infection rate is quite low. I think it's like 1.6% positivity rate right now. But we had to make a decision about our kids and whether to send them to school before mm-hmm. we really knew the details of what our district's plan was going to be. And we made the decision to keep our kids home because my youngest was entering kindergarten and my oldest was entering middle school. 5th grade is middle school. And I didn't like the idea of them starting new schools in masks with all these new regulations, and both of them being pretty strong learners. And my oldest really liked distance learning in the spring. So we made the decision to keep them home and my mother-in-law is facilitating distance learning, but I am in the school. So how does that make sense, right? Like for me, it wasn't just about the germs. It was just having a consistent plan and not needing to worry about when things Agreed. Change. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted it to be consistent across the board. And, you know, there's definitely things that are good and things that are tough with that. But another thing that happened from March of 2020 was that so my mother-in-law is a CNA in a nursing home. And when you released your free medical forms, I downloaded them all. I didn't just email them. I printed them out and I delivered them to my mother and her household, to my father and his household, to my sister, because, you know, Connecticut at that time wasn't letting parents in the hospital with special needs kids. Mm-hmm. And so I was very worried about that. And my mom did fill out the forms. And 2 weeks later, she ended up contracting COVID-19 and her husband, my stepfather, ended up contracting COVID-19 and he did end up in the hospital for a bit and had to be transported by ambulance. And she sent him in with your medical form all filled out. I think that that was definitely a big peace of mind for her, just knowing that they had all his medication history and all of that you know, on paper. And thankfully, they both are fully recovered and they're both fine. But that was definitely an unexpected.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I am so grateful that they are well. And you said she's in a nursing home. So why don't you get that copier going? You are there in the nursing home. I know they have their medical records in there as well. I didn't have to make the decision about Joey and Abby, whether they would school from home or not school from home. But if I did have grade school age kids, I would have kept them home just for exactly the same reason that you said. Just for continuity of the schedule. It's the unexpected and the not knowing and the constant, are we going to school today? Are they going to change it today? Is there going to be a breakout today? I can't live in that much uncertainty. I would rather know that they're going to be home and just know and okay, well, that's this year. And the other thing you're talking about, and I think a lot of changes are going to come from, I think that teachers are feeling a lot more valued because parents had to step in and be the teachers. But I love that you said that from the teaching perspective that, hey, the kids did survive without you too. It's not one or the other. It is that merging of parents and teachers to support kids, that it takes everyone. One is not more important than the other. One way is not right over the other. You know, parents have had a lot of, I would say, increased depression, anxiety, divorce rate is all up among adults. And they do say that, you know, we worry about the kids' socialization and having missed these years of schooling at home. But when I have one-on-one conversations with moms about their kids, I can't think of a single example of a child being at home, at least one of their children at home, not being happy about being home and having less anxiety and not having to worry about their peers. I don't think our kids are really going to struggle with this as much as we as the adults worry about how this is going to impact them in the future. I think the kids liked having more unstructured time at home, more time with their parents, less anxiety. Now, the schooling from home was not easy for either of my children. My kids do much better with a one-on-one teacher scenario, but they did have less anxiety as far as the social interaction. So we're not going to know for years, but nothing is as bad as it seems and nothing's as good as it seems.
Yes, definitely. I would agree with that. And my five-year-old learned how to ride a two-wheeler bike without training wheels. And I don't know that would have happened if I had sent her into school. So it was the right decision for us.
And I think we've made our decisions and we're going through life and the government's going to make its decisions and the election's going to be whatever the election's going to be. And just, it's not all life and death. I mean, some of it's life and death, but the decisions about if your kids are, missing out or this, that, or the other thing, there's just not everything has to be as weighty as we think it is. Once you made your decision, stop reading Facebook. Stop watching the news about it. Once you and your family made your decision, move on and just enjoy the decision that you've made, no matter what it is.
Well, and on the flip side, I am working in the school and the kids are doing amazing. Even my IEP kids, they're in their masks and, they're putting up with all these things that I thought were going to be huge barriers. So,
yeah, here's the thing. We don't like change that we're not in control of. And there's a lot of change that we're not in control of. Now, if we're in control of the change, I'm all for it. I'm making change all the time. I'm fine with it because I'm in control of it. We don't like it when other people tell us we have to do something. But in the long term, I don't think the fact that kids had to wear masks in the school year of 2020 to 2021 is going to stop them from whatever they're uniquely created to do in their future. It's like wearing a uniform one year. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So what do you have more of now?
So I know most people say that they have more time or that their house is neater. But for me, I would say it's really about having more realistic expectations.
Nice.
Realistic expectations for myself that, I'm not going to measure my day by how many boxes got checked off anymore. I'm going to measure my day by the quality of the time that I spent. Realistic expectations for my family. So I bought the kids planner for my 10-year-old for distance learning. And I, every day I'm like, okay, did you write anything down? Did you Did you write down your assignments? And at one point she said, well, mom, I couldn't find my rainbow flare pens. So I didn't write it down because I didn't have the, and I'm like, okay, I know where you get that from. So I'm going to let that one go. And then my students, you know, I'm having more realistic expectations for my students. And I'm realizing that it is much more beneficial for my kids to prioritize what are the most important things that I can teach them this year to help them succeed in life and succeed in the classroom, and not think like I used to really think, like a private practice speech therapist would, where you're coming through my door and these are the things that are wrong and I'm going to fix these 15 things. And I'm realizing that it's so much better for my students when I have a bigger picture idea of what I want to work on, and working on fewer things more intensively has helped a lot.
Wow. How freeing is that?
Yeah. You talk about what is the one thing such that by doing that everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. And Angela Watson talks about what would this look like if it were easy? And so I've told my colleagues this year, I've got my easy button out. And I'm like,
I love it. That is a Jay Papasan quote from the book, The One Thing, that you just quoted, that I say all the time. That is what he says in that whole book, which is, it's an awesome book. That's the whole book, actually. It's just an expansion of that phrase. But it is great, isn't it? Like, if you have 15 objectives for a child, what's the first one? Like, what's the first speech and language therapy goal, such that by accomplishing this one, all the rest of them may become unnecessary or will be easier to attain? Like, you've got to prioritize somehow.
Yes. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I just have more compassion for myself as a human being and not as a productivity machine. And I used to say that to my husband sometimes at night, like, I just feel like a machine. Like, I feel like I'm just getting through the day every day, and I'm not appreciating all the great things that I have in my life. And so I'm really trying hard to change my focus.
I love that. So what do you have less of then?
I have less guilt.
Yay.
Yes. So this summer I instituted mom breaks into our schedule. You know, every day around 2 or 3, I would totally lose energy. And so that would be my 1 hour where I did not have to achieve anything and I could read a book or I could nap. But the kids knew that they had to go play on their own and the house didn't burn down. And, you know, yes, I could have gotten more done if I had used that hour to do something else, but it helped me be more present for them at night. As a working mom, that bedtime time is so important. And I feel like a lot of the time I was feeling so frazzled and stressed and tired that I wasn't able to fully appreciate that quality time with my kids, because I was like, I need to get them to bed so that I can get back on my computer and I can write that IEP and I need to wash the dishes and I need, you know, and I'm really trying to slow down and not feel guilty for getting less done.
Yeah, that afternoon rest time, nap time, scrolling on Instagram time, like, it really does help you get through the end of the day. Like, Greg would say to me, well, it must be nice that you took a nap. I'm like, let me just tell you how beneficial to you that nap is right now. It's very beneficial to you that I took that nap, because otherwise we would not be standing here having a polite conversation. Like,
yes,
you just need that downtime. Nap time is not just for children.
No. And my kids see the difference. They notice the difference when I've taken that time and when I haven't. So,
and it's good for them too. I mean, like, you know, once you outgrow your nap, my mom used to make us sit on the bed for the hour for rest time. You didn't have to sleep, but you had to sit on your bed. Like, learning to be alone with yourself and read a book or do whatever you do during your alone time, it's great. I love alone time.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, and I've also been trying to have less negative thoughts too. Your podcast where you talk about decluttering negative thoughts, I think I've listened to it maybe 3 times now. And the way that I think about it is like a rewrite, you know? So I can be frustrated that my husband didn't get X, Y, or Z done, or I can be grateful that he got the one important thing that I asked him to do done. And, so I'm really trying to rewrite those negative thoughts and have more compassion for everybody around me.
It is amazing how powerful our thoughts are. And normally we don't even think about what we're thinking, but I love to think about thinking. And now I think back to when I was so negative and I was like, ooh, how did I ever live that way. Like, I cannot believe that I ruminated in those negative thoughts all the time. No wonder I had more migraines and I was grumpy and I was angry and I saw everything that was going wrong.
Yeah, I have your quote. It's about choosing the thoughts that lead to the right attitude. And I have that quote in my gratitude journal when I do that at night because it helps me a lot.
Oh, that is so awesome. So, Renee, what do you wish you had known sooner?
I wish I had known that my value as a woman, as a mom, as an educator, as a human being is not based on my productivity. And it's something I'm still working on. But it's something that I'm really trying to embrace. There was a feminist quote that said that women are taught that their value is based on what they can do for others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while of course it's good to do things for others, we have to recognize that that's not where our value comes from. Our value comes from our humanity. And no one else is expecting me to get all of these things done. Like, these are, right. You know, you talk about Greg and the vacuuming every night. Yeah. You know, my husband does not expect me to get all of these things done. My administrators do not expect me to get all of these things done. I am putting myself in this scenario. You know, I'm just trying to keep perspective that, you know, someday at my funeral, people are not going to be saying, oh, that Renee, she was good with a to-do list. She got so much done.
Yeah.
She was one productive woman, you know, I'm trying to keep perspective that way.
Yeah. And I often say that, you know, decluttering leads to organization. Organization always gives you time. And when you get through organizing, it leads to increased productivity, which I mean, like, increased productivity in that you can get more done in less time. And also the fun parts of organizing, which are the decorating. But I love that you say that because truly, the vision here at Organize 365 is that we will help female heads of household get their whole home and paper organized with functional systems in 1 year that work so that they can go out and do what they were uniquely created to do and use their God-given talent to bless the world. And that's the whole point. Not so that you get more time so you could do more housework, so yes. that you get more time so you can go out and do what you were uniquely created to do, which is something you're going to have to struggle with and figure out what that is. Once there's not a lot to do, then you start going, oh, wait a minute. Now I have that time she talked about, and it's what you always wanted. But then when you get it, you're like, oh, yeah, what am I uniquely gifted and created to do and bless the world? And I think that that's the true gift of Organize 365 is not even your getting organized, but giving you the time because of whatever you're going to do that will change the lives of others in a positive way.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm 38 and I'm hoping that my 40s, you're always talking about your 40s, that, you know, I'll continue to figure it out.
Oh, yes. You are going to, wow, this is going to be fun to watch. So what's your next step?
Well, so the goals in my planner are, again, because that planner really helps me to focus and not get distracted by all the possibilities. So I'm going to be working on the attic this weekend. That's something I've wanted to get done for a long time, but I was able to see that it didn't make sense to do it in the summer because it's too hot. Doesn't make sense to do it in the winter because it's too cold. So I'm going to get that done next weekend. I'm hoping to maybe work on some of the binders over Christmas break, but my biggest goals for this 100 days are to start incorporating more self-care into my routines. And for me, that's not about weight loss. It's about mental health. And, you know, I've been trying to walk more and get outside. I've been trying to even meditate and learn how to be like present in the moment, which is a very hard thing for me.
Yeah, but I haven't learned that one yet.
I'm really trying. I can do about 2 minutes. And just continuing to declutter those negative thoughts. You know, I've always been like one of my favorite characters as a kid was Eeyore. And I always liked like the grumpy Care Bear. And in college, people used to joke I was Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live. So, you know, I'm trying to keep up that positivity and just be more present for my family.
You need to channel Tigger.
I remember watching one of the Winnie the Pooh videos with my daughter where they all fall in a sand pit.
Yeah.
And Eeyore says, "We're all gonna die." And I just remember laughing and laughing and laughing. And my daughter was like, "Mom, what's wrong with you?"
I would be Tigger bouncing on my tail going, yes. Hey, let's get some height out of this.
Yes, that's definitely you. But you know, the other thing that's funny is, like, as an educator, I'm not that way with my students. When I'm in a session, it's the Renee show and I've got my thing going. And then when I get home, because I'm more of an introverted person, it's like, whew, it's
put that away.
Yeah.
Don't need that till tomorrow. Oh my goodness. Is there any advice that you would want to give to somebody who's just starting out? I mean, you gave us a lot to think about. What would you boil it down to?
I think I would love for people to think about your program and your products and your systems as not just being about productivity and about mm-hmm. getting more done in your day. You know, that it really is about what are the right things to focus on and helping us mm-hmm. figure out as women what those things are. You know, my favorite quotes are done is better than perfect. Excellence is about taking the next step. It's not about having a perfect outcome. It's just that it's never all going to get done. So we need to learn. I've always been the type of person that I can't relax until it's done. Well, it's never going to be done at school. It's never going to be done at home. Parenting is never going to be done, even when they're 40, right?
Yep.
So we need to just, I think all of us need to learn to make the things that really matter to us a priority and let the rest of it go and not judge ourselves so harshly, especially because it's our own brains that are fighting against us. It's nobody else saying that all of these things need to happen.
Totally agree. Renee, this has been such a delightful conversation. Thank you so much for joining me on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so very much, Lisa. It's been great.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.